DJ Event Planner will change the way you manage and run your business. Streamline all of your procedures and software into one easy-to-manage system. DJ Event Planner, the ultimate online planning tool.
Good evening, everyone. We are back for show number two tonight, and I'm joined by the one and only Brian S. Red. Good evening, Brian.
Good evening, John.
We are going to be talking about all sorts of important things. Before we get to that, I wanted to just share now, we might have mentioned a little bit about during Ben's show tonight, but next week we are going to be switching things up a little bit. Ben's show is going to become the music show, and we're going to learn a little bit about Ben and his musical taste because he's going to be sharing some of his favorite songs. And I was just telling Brian that we're going to do the tech show. So this is going to be Brian and I putting our heads together to do the tech show.
That'll be interesting. It'll be very interesting.
I'm not sure if it'll be really interesting or just kind of scary.
We're doing it just to do it. It serves no purpose. We're just doing it to do it.
And we were just talking that, you know, we should have a little meme of a little gif of Ben just... Yeah, the face... We'll have to see if we could get some of those and, you know, drop those in every once in a while. But I figured that we should give some advice on how to rewire a basement or something. It should be it'll be great.
Yeah. Follow my directions on, you know, putting electrical in your home. Nothing could go wrong.
Exactly. You know, hey, why waste black tape when you can use masking tape?
That's right. It's leftover from Christmas, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Scotch tape, it's underrated.
Invisible man, you can see it. Yeah.
See that electricity going through there and getting those wires hot.
We'll figure something out.
So yeah, we're going to have a little fun with that. So that'll be next week's show on Tuesday night. Tonight, Brian, I've been watching your progress as you have been building your workshop down in the basement. I wanted to talk a little bit about the idea of storing gear and, you know, the maintaining of gear, because that really is, you know, what you've been working on in the basement, especially storage and be able to, you know, put things in their spot so they're easy to find. And yeah, I wanted to kind of just, as you're going through, you've been kind of having some epiphanies, I guess is a way to describe it, when it comes to storing things and why you've gone and done some of the things the way you have done it. And a couple of things I've been watching, it's like, oh, that's a really cool idea. Never thought about utilizing the space like you were using it specifically between the floor joists with hanging wires and such.
Yeah. I mean, part of what I'm doing is, well, trying to get organized. And my situation here is probably something that you would see in like a rehearsal hall or a band studio. So I have a lot of cabling. I have a lot of little parts. A lot of DJs don't have as much stuff as I do, but most DJs have some degree of hardware, remote controls, scrim, you know, little modules, what have you. And I'm just trying to find not only practical but economical solutions to store the stuff and find a place to put it. And much of the things that I've done are actually things that I already had laying around. It wasn't something I had to go out and purchase. Some of the stuff is just kind of a brainstorm idea. Hey, let's try this and see how it works. So the hooks are one example of that. We don't have visuals tonight probably to show what we're talking about, but
yeah. we can describe things and give basically the idea is I want to just try to get people thinking a little bit about utilizing some space and protecting their gear, yeah. Because that's probably the biggest thing is it's so easy to, you know, specifically cables or cords, you know, you've got them wrapped up and they're stacked up, thrown in a corner, get stepped on, kicked on, dollies get rolled over them. And next thing you know, you've got, why is this shorting out? I don't understand.
Or you can't get to them at all. That's my problem.
Yeah.
Because things get put in front of them. And then it's like, you know what? That's too much of a hassle. I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to create this other bin of cables, or I'm going to put cables in this other spot. And then you have cables all over the place and then they get mixed up and they get tangled. So yeah, what I basically did just for the stuff that I'm doing your demo videos on, like if I'm doing a DMX video or just a general lighting video, anything at all, or audio, I need some cables. And what I find myself doing is diving into gig bags where I put little kits together, you know, for the road and pulling these cables out and using them. And then when I go on the road, go into my kit, I don't have my cables. And it's just a drag. So the wall that I'm facing right now, if you've ever seen videos in my dungeon, I have a wall that looks like a normal wall down here, like a drywall wall. Everything else is brick. On the other side of that wall is the other side of the basement. And it's open floor joists, so you can see the 2x4s. And 2x4s are what, 3.5?
Yep, 3.5 inches is what 2x4s would be.
Mm-hmm. So I've got this space. What do you do? So I took these hooks, like screw-in hooks, you'd use in a garage to hang a bicycle or whatever. I put the hooks in the joists on the top plate.
Yep.
And I did 2 between each, I guess, wall stud.
Mm-hmm. Yep, between the studs there.
Which is 16 on the center. Mm-hmm. And I've hung my cords on them, just loose. I didn't even wrap them, just hung them on there. IEC cables, DMX, PowerCon, and audio is what I'm starting with. It's real handy. I can go back there. I can grab a cable and use it, or several if I need to. When I'm done, I got a place to put them. Just a silly little thing that I came up with. I was inspired by some things I saw when I Googled and saw some pictures on Pinterest. Some were really interesting. They had pictures of Bob Marley and Whoopi Goldberg, and the cables were actually like dreadlocks.
Yep, I saw that one, yeah.
Yeah, so that was kind of the inspiration for that. Like, I have hooks I can use for this. So that's what I did for that in particular solution. And it's nice. I just know where I can grab a cable now.
And I've used hooks in a similar situation actually on my workbench. Is I've got a couple of different 2x4s that are under there supporting the top of the bench. One of them is at the front legs, and then the bench actually cantilevers out another foot. So mm-hmm. What I've done is I've taken hooks similar to that and attached them to that inner area so I can access, you know, move the cables and I can get to the actual shelf, but then the cables are, all the extension cords are hanging on those hooks. So then they can go there.
Right.
What I thought, the part that I actually thought was the most ingenious of that is just you end with a Sharpie or whatever and wrote, you know, that this is where the IEC cables go and this is where I'm thinking to myself, that's what I need to do, because so many times I'm so frustrated that, okay, the kids, they go and they grab an extension cord, they come back in and then they don't put it in the right spot. And it's not that it's a big deal, but I tell, okay, go grab the brown cord on the right. That's, you know, that's what I tell the kids to do. They go in there and they grab the brown cord. It's like, well, that's not the right brown cord. Oh, well, it's because they've taken to move things around. It's like, nah. So I like that.
Truth be told, I was going to use my label maker on that, you know. That was supposed to be a job for the label maker. But I have yet to find my power source for my label maker. It's very specific. It's brother makes it, and it's a very unique voltage. I had to go buy it after I got all these. We have like tons of wall warts, but I had to buy this one.
Yeah.
Because I was using batteries. I can't find it. So I thought, you know what? I'll just write out a Sharpie on the stud for now and that'll be what it is.
Yeah, that definitely.
And part of the reason I did that, exact same reason you're talking about, Blanca finds things and she's a little squirrel. She just puts things in a hole, or she hides things in a space where you can't see them, so they're out of sight. Like a squirrel does with a nut.
Yep.
I call her a squirrel. So she squirrels everything. It's my term I use for she did something with it and we don't know what. So I'm thinking, you know what? If I can teach her what these cables are, and if she finds one, she can put it away in the spot I have designated for it. It's going to be a lot easier than, you know, finding these random nuts scattered around my home. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, junk boxes, which we had a lot of. I got rid of most of them. Like, here's a box. Let's see. We have pressure washer tips. We have O-clamps. We have remote controls. We have tripod adapters and vice grips. Oh, and some old badges from shows. That's a box I need laying around my house, let alone 80 of them. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think I had that box in a couple of places myself.
Yeah. So.
And that's another thing that you've been working on is in the other spot where you have the your tool cabinets. Mm-hmm. But you've been using the tool cabinets now to store DJ gear in. And I guess my question as I was watching you do that is that you're putting, you know, clamps and different things in there. Mm-hmm. I probably have totes that have the clamps in there. Why did you want to do with the drawer system instead of, you know, using like totes?
Well, a couple of reasons. One, today totes too heavy for me to carry. And the other reason is, it's not all about clamps. Sometimes it's about scrim or remote controls or hardware, little hardware we use for trussing. There's all kinds of stuff in this toolbox. So my way of thinking is I can organize all of these things that I have laying around, Omega clamps, you name it, any little thing mm-hmm. you have that has to do with production. Like, let's say that you're doing production stuff. You're doing trussing, you're doing lighting. You end up with clamps. You end up with little pins and cap screws and all of this stuff. Instead of putting it in a tote where I got to dig through the tote to find it, what I can do is I can get a job and then grab a tool bag, go to the cabinet and think to myself, okay, I'm going to need 20 couplers. And I'm also going to need 16 half couplers, and we need 16 cap screws, and, you know, whatever it would be, mm-hmm. like 36, you know, truss pins and cotter pins, and take those things and put them into the tool bag and go to the job instead of bringing everything I have with me. And I'm not going to use everything I have, and the stuff gets heavy after a while.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a production crew, it's probably not a big deal. You put the stuff in road cases and let your roadies handle it. Your 22-year-old bodybuilding roadies can carry this wherever you want. But in my case, no. Organization is the way to go on this. And if I need, you know, some swivel clamps, or if I need some trigger clamps or whatever kind of clamps I need, I know right where they are. I don't have to think, where did I put those things? Or what bin are they in? And the bin, I can't even move the bins. They're so heavy. I have so much stuff. I cannot physically move them because they're weighing probably about 175 pounds a piece. Mm-hmm. So I can't even move them. So they're going in the toolbox.
Yeah.
I've got a heavy duty, like commercial toolbox. So it's working out real well. And by the way, I bought this off of Craigslist. I didn't go out and buy a $2,500 commercial toolbox. I paid $200 for this thing. And it's older than I am.
I was going to say, yeah. Wasn't it a 47 year old?
Yeah. Yeah, it's stamped 470. So it's a year and a month older than I am.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's an odd length. Most toolboxes are 28 inches mm-hmm. or 42 or 52 or 60. This one's 33. So that must have been a size back then.
Yeah, for a period of time, yeah.
Yeah, so it's an odd size. It's a bottom box and a top box. It's not beautiful. It's kind of cool, though, and I can get a lot in it, so it's nice. And then I also bought two more boxes that I'm just starting to get into now mm-hmm. for smaller boxes. I've got one here in the studio that I'm looking at right now. I had no drawers down here. Didn't think about that. I don't have a standard desk. So like I was talking about, the remote controls. Oh, my hard drives. I've got multiple hard drives. Little Western Digital passports. I've got flash drives. I've got SD cards. I've got SD to USB adapters. Tons of stuff that just ends up kind of being everywhere.
Yep.
So I've got this, what they call a metal chest in the toolbox world. It's the chest that goes between your top chest, which has the, you know, lid on it. You open it up for your sockets. Yeah. And the bottom rollaway chest. It's like an intermittent chest down, like right in the middle. It's got three drawers in it. Snap-on makes it. I've got $15 invested in that, which is a steal, by the way.
Wow, that it.
Yeah. Yeah. And $15 in that little orange box. It's probably from the 60s or 70s. It's not perfect, but the drawers open and close beautifully. And yeah, that's going to be computer stuff. Sure. And data stuff and remote controls and little things like that. Because there are remote controls to this day that are in the side tables in the living room for some reason in those drawers.
Yep.
I don't know why they're there, but the squirrel put them there.
And we have no idea what they control.
There are also mail baskets in the kitchen. The squirrel puts things in those too. So I've got to go through all the places that the squirrel hides things and pull things out and put them in the toolbox and explain to the squirrel the next time that's where they go.
Oh, that's funny. That's very funny.
That's true.
I know exactly.
Microphones too. You know, microphones. You have several different types of microphones. You also have mic clips, adapters, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm putting all that in a drawer.
Mm-hmm.
So if I need a microphone or hardware for a microphone or anything else, I could open the microphone drawer and it's there.
Did you, in those cases, the older ones, did they have the liner in those cases or is that something?
No, like- no, I, nothing I ever buy has a liner in it. I always have to go out and buy the anti-slip stuff and cut it to size. And the place I found the best deal on that is Big Lots.
Hmm.
I can get, I think it's 18 by 10 feet of drawer liner for about $5. Everywhere else I go, you get a little, you know, I don't know, maybe you have 48 inch by 18 inch and it's going to cost you $10.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like twice, more than twice the drawer liner for half the price. Yeah, Big Lots. The only problem I ran into is that they didn't have a bunch of black. They had some gray. But I thought, well, you know, we'll put some gray in some of this. I could have gone red. I could have gone white, beige. They had a lot of different colors.
Yeah, gray would look better than some of the other colors in there.
We went gray. Gray was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's the place I recommend you get your drawer liners.
Yeah, that's what I've had to do with Part of what I've been doing on the other side the last couple of years is putting in shelving because I would have, you know, stacks of totes and different things. And that worked okay when I had the trailer and the truck. And that's so I would haul everything I needed plus, you know, 100 things I didn't need. But now that I've gotten away from the trailer and I'm just using the truck, now space is at a premium. So I need to be hauling, you know, an extra this or an extra that, but I can't haul. You never know when you might need it, you know, type of things because I know exactly. I won't need it at this event, but I might need it next weekend. Well, you know what? Then I'm going to have to load it next. So that's where the shelving has really come in. And I've been very happy with that because now you can, you know, things are here. And I know that this is the box that has my video connection. So if I'm doing multi-video screens, I need this box. If I'm doing the larger light show, I know that this particular box has additional DMX wires in it that aren't in the base. And that's how I've worked in putting things together.
Organization has to work for you. I mean, it has to make sense to you. It has to serve your purpose. My purpose is not going to be your purpose.
Yeah.
You have to figure out what you need and how you're going to use it, how much space you're going to need and go for it. Saria, she's a DJ in McHenry, Texas. Oh, and I love this girl. She's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I met her at Mobile Beat, I think 3 years ago. We've become really good friends. She's awesome. And she's a hell of a DJ. She does things. She has pretty big productions. She's doing quinceañeras and wedding receptions and all those things. And she's big on trust. And she has a lot of little things. So she messages me midweek last week, I guess. And says, hey, B, you inspired me. with the Craftsman stuff. I went ahead and bought a box.
Nice.
I'm like, okay, cool. And then she says, yeah, I'm waiting for them to ship. I'm like, oh, you bought a new box.
Ooh, my, yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm like, what did you end up with? You know, I'm thinking a five drawer or whatever. She's got like this thing, it looks like a Snap-on box that belongs in a, you know, in a Buick dealership. Yeah, the real box. Oh, my. Yeah, it was gorgeous. I couldn't pass it up. Now, she's going to take that box and she's going to mount it in her trailer. And she's going to have everything with her wherever she goes. Mm-hmm. Because her, I guess, problem was she never knew what she was going to need.
Yeah.
So now she can have everything organized on the road with her in her trailer. Granted, her trailer is going to weigh a lot, but this is going to work for her. It's going to be her mobile DJ hardware store right there in those two boxes. And such a shame hidden in her trailer because it's such a sexy box. No one's ever going to see it.
But. Yeah, for sure. I mean, a big, big cabin right. like that.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this on when we did our picks for around Christmas time is Black Friday is such a great time to go buy these types of toolboxes because Home Depot and Lowe's, it's like they get crazy stupid the week before Thanksgiving and that time to go and purchase these things. And you go in there and you look at some of these because they get these in once a year, some of these big ones, and it's like, oh,
yeah,
that's so
you can
awesome.
Always buy them on the website, oddly enough.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just that in the store where you can go touch it.
But the sale item is in store, yeah.
And you can, it's like those drawers, it's like, oh, these are awesome, man.
Yeah, the soft clothes and all that stuff. I mean, I almost bought the big Milwaukee box from Home Depot. But I discovered that it was not only 16 inches long, but it weighed 410 pounds. And I couldn't figure out how I was going to get 410 pounds down the stairs.
Yeah, that would have been tough to make that corner.
I also couldn't figure out where it was going to go because that extra 8 inches made a difference in the area I was working in.
Yeah.
So it was all custom what I did. It was the 52-inch Craftsman box. I did a 2-inch overhang on your side with my butcher block that I built for it.
Mm-hmm.
Worked out well.
Yeah.
But you can't go buy what I have. You have to build it.
Yeah.
I did all the liquidators on the butcher block. It's basically rubber tree butcher block. It's hardwood. But I got a hell of a price on it. Instead of going into Lumber Liquidators and buying it for $450 for a kitchen island, I'm going to Lumber Liquidators and said, do you have any scratch and dents? And it turns out they usually always do, something that falls off the forklift or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm picking up this $450 piece of butcher block for $100. And then I went to Home Depot because I needed a little filler. I'm getting geeky on here. But when you have a regular toolbox, a chest, usually what happens is it's open in, on the top. Flat, but there's an open front and there's a lip that goes all the way around three sides to hold on, to hold like a top box on there so this doesn't slide off or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a 3/4-inch lip. So I had to find a piece of 3/4-inch plywood to fill that lip
across
so I could
the
put
front.
The butcher block on top and have the overhangs.
Yep.
So I went to Home Depot, I went into the 70% off bin. The wood that's all jacked up because I only needed 52 by 18 and found something that worked for a little bit of nothing. So I did it on a budget. I didn't go out and buy the brand new anything. I bought the stuff on the cheap. So it's been a fun experience putting all this together. And I'm still not done. And the reason it's not done is because my time is very fragmented for one. I can work on it for a while and then I got to move on to something else. And the other thing is, I don't always know what I want to do. I'm still kind of cultivating ideas as I go, figuring out kind of where I'm at in the organizational process, what needs a home, what space have I acquired from cleaning, what space have I destroyed from cleaning. And the other on top of that, I'm slow. It takes me a while to figure things out. But it's been fun. And it's something that I would like to try to have wrapped up relatively soon before the season really kicks in. It's really been helpful though. If I've needed to work on a project, I've got a bench for me. You know, gee, how do I figure out this DMX thing or this light or how to set up this hardware? instead of doing it on the floor or doing it on a fast set table behind me, I can go on a workbench and do this.
Right.
And I have outlets right behind me, and it's at a really nice height to stand and work. It's nice. I've never really had that as organized as this before. So Larry's saying ADHD. Yeah, a little bit, because, well, every toolbox has a story. Like my first box that I ever bought, I bought it with Christmas money I got from my ex's grandmother. Give $100 every year. And I had this little, you know, toolbox, just a single box with a little tray on top of it.
Sure.
I'm going to buy myself one of those top boxes. They're like $75 at Sears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I did. And then like maybe a year later, I was leaving from one of Stevie's mother's doctor's appointments at the hospital. And I saw this Craftsman box in a yard, the big for sale sign on for $100. So I bought that, has some of my top box on. And I was so proud of that. It was matching. It all looked right.
Yeah.
And when I was searching for this workbench, it's like, man, how can I say no to matching that? You know, I got to match the stuff with my other Craftsman boxes, same colors, whatever. And then it got to the point of being 88. Yeah. I got obsessive compulsive about it, where I needed everything to be black and red and Craftsman. It got stupid with everything. Creepers, work lights, you name it. Cabinets, whatever. I kind of got away from that with the Snap-on purchase at the rummage sale, but it was Snap-on. What are you going to do? You know,
precisely.
You got to do it.
Good quality stuff. You were kind of moving on, and you were talking about the space and such, and you have work space, and that's what I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about too. Is when it comes to maintaining gear and such, is that an area that you know? There's things that you need to do with your gear, and specifically like subwoofers. I've had to, I go through and I tighten up screws, little simple things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And having the workspaces and such to do that. I think that sometimes we overlook that because as you say, that little fast fold table, I can't throw a subwoofer on top of that.
Right.
And okay, I could flip it over on the floor, and I did that without thinking one time. And then when I flipped it back, it's like, I just scratched the hell out of the paint.
Right.
Like an idiot. So that was something when you're doing and working on gear is the bench your primary spot for that, or what are you going to be kind of
if
using?
Things fit on it? Yeah, absolutely. Anytime I'm dealing with tools, which is another nice thing too. If I've got anything I'm working on, it, and it could be, I've got lights that I've had for a long time and all of a sudden they don't work. Yes, they're under warranty. And even if they're not, it doesn't matter. I'm BSR. I can get it fixed. But I got to ship it, right?
Yep.
Well, screw that. I'm going to tear it apart and see if I can see something unplugged or something wrong. Most of the time, that's the case. It's a super easy fix. How cool is it to have the bench to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Or even if I am, let's say I have some moving heads and I've decided that I'm going to hang them using an Omega clamp and an O clamp. I have a place to stage that instead of on the floor or, you know, wherever. I can go on the workbench with great lighting and do this. And I've got every tool that I want right here. I can just open the drawer. Oh, yeah, I need that Allen wrench. Okay. Oh, I need that vice grip, or I need whatever. It's all right there. And hardware too. If I need some different hardware, my hardware is all right there. I've got it organized. I'm not digging for things anymore. It's so cool. So, I mean, not everybody's going to do that. I understand that. But for me, it's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's say that you get a new mixing board and then or controller, and then you get your cool case from Odyssey or whoever you buy your case from. It's time to wire up the case. Cool place to do that too. Your zip ties are right here. Your everything you need, it's right here.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a space and lighting to do it properly.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it. What's really kind of important, and I think sometimes we don't think about, is that when you have the space and you the proper lighting, the tools are within reach, you're just going to be more productive instead of, and I know, like, you know, talking to Jimmy's been working and putting together his little work area.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just as he's putting things together, and he can hear him thinking and talking his way through his productivity increase he's going to have when he gets it done, because things are at arm's length, and he can see what he's doing. And especially as we're getting older, having the ability to see with bright enough lights on the subject is really kind of important.
I mean, I know people who get excited when they buy a camper.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to go camping all the time. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great. Or when they buy a boat, they're going to go boating all the time. It's going to be great. And what happens is they don't go camping and they don't go boating. I mean, it's not everybody. I know you go camping. I know a lot of people go boating. But some people buy these things with every good intention to utilize them, but they don't. The workbench, I use it every day.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't wait for a day to go where I'm not opening that drawer for something. We bought a Puerto Rican flag the other day. You know, we're going to hang the flag. Oh, well, you know what? The clips for the flag are off. We need a special screwdriver for that. Oh, we know where that is. Let's just bring it down here and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just the dumbest things, any little thing you can think of. Or I have a package. Now, as you know, when you get a package, be it Amazon or whatever, you got to have a box cutter. You got to open that thing up. I found myself sitting on the floor of the foyer doing this. I don't do that anymore. I put it on the workbench. I open the utility drawer. I pull out a box cutter. I open it right there at a good height. So, so cool to have that work area.
Yeah.
It's essential. Otherwise, you're working on your kitchen table, which I did. Kitchen cabinets, done that. Floor, absolutely. Or you're setting up a table to do it. Then you don't take the table down. Now mm-hmm. the table's in your way. And the table gets full stuff. And then you got this mess. I don't know. It makes things nice.
Or you've got that little thing that needs to be re-glued, and you take the Gorilla Glue and you glue the two pieces together and you set it up, and you're in the kitchen and you set it up here. And it just so happens that here happened to be over the wife's really expensive mixer, and the Gorilla Glue drips down on the mixer, and it's, I mean, I heard that happen to somebody.
Yeah.
I heard.
Oh, and everything's there too. The glue's there. The paint's there.
When you have when you've got the right spots where you can clamp things and do
the zip tie, the clamps are there. Everything is there. If I look at, I can bring something to the bench and not even know what I need to do with it. And by the time I look at it and figure it out, everything I need is arm's length. I don't even have to walk to get it. I just open the drawer and grab it.
Mm-hmm.
Open the cabinet and grab it. So nice. And I'm not doing a heavy mechanics on this thing. I'm not, you know, rebuilding, you know, or electronic, you know, rebuilding alternators on this thing or whatever. No, just simple stuff. It's just so handy. You don't know how handy it's going to be until you have it.
Yeah. Yeah, but dedicated spot, I think, is definitely something.
Not only a dedicated spot, but an organized spot for me. It was not only, okay, this is this place to do it. I had the place to do it, mm-hmm. but I could never get to it because it was such chaos. Now I have the spot, and I have the organization at the spot with the tools and hardware that I'll need to do most anything. It's very odd if I have to go to Home Depot for something because
mm-hmm.
I've just got things. Or I can improvise. I can use what I have and make it happen.
And that is such a cool thing. Question, can you repaint wood cabinets deep for DJ speakers that have been scuffed up? Have you ever done that, Brian?
I have not. I'll tell you what I do. Besides cough. And this is terrible. If I get a scratch on the speaker, I bring a Sharpie with me.
Mm-hmm.
My Sharpie and hide it. But what I have heard a lot of people do is go with some kind of like automotive undercoating.
Yep, yep, a bed liner type. Yep, that's what I did. As I had a pair of, and this is getting to more preventative measures is. I was one of the guys who wouldn't buy the covers for the speakers because I was too darn cheap to do that for the longest time.
Yeah.
And I would get the speakers, and it's like, well, you know, I can put them in the trailer, set them on there, and then put a shipping blanket over them and then slide them into position. And that was what I did. And for the bows that I had for a long time, that worked well. Well, I ended up getting, you guys have probably seen the videos where I had the Yamaha speakers come in 3 years, 4 years ago. And I wasn't going to buy bags for them right away. I was just like, you know what? How scratched up are they going to get in my truck? Well, unfortunately, the finish on Yamaha speakers was horrible when it came to getting dented and scratched up. And so what I ended up doing is taking the bed liner and I recoated the whole speaker, taped off the grill area, you know, took the grill actually off, taped everything off so that area wouldn't get any spray on it, sprayed the whole thing. Now, the problem was is that the speakers were one shade of black. The bed liner was another shade of black, so you had to make sure you did a full coat of the thing. And that meant that I had to do both speakers because they wouldn't match. And that meant that my one can did not cover both of them.
Of course.
So back to the, but after that, that was, then they were good to go. Now when it came to the Electrovoice speakers, I'm going to be getting another pair of subs. I already bought the bags ahead of time. It's like, okay, if I'm going to get the speakers, I want the bags either the same time or ahead of it. So that way when they get here, I can go, ooh, look how pretty. Bag, boom. EKX, I think the EKX speakers have been out to about 15 events now. And I took the bag off the other day and it's like, this thing looks like it just came out of the box.
Right.
No scuffs. No. I mean, yeah, you look at the little feet on the bottom and you can see that they've been scuffed as they've slid in and out of the truck. But just a little preventive protection.
Sure.
So the $40 or $50 those little speaker bags cost, yeah, definitely. But that still doesn't mean, that means that I still took the screwdriver to it, and especially on a subwoofer. If the feet on those subs, it's like once a year, you got to go and tighten those up.
Tighten them.
Yeah. Or you can
even on tops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just the maintenance, like you're talking about, the maintenance or maintenance, I believe is what you spelled on the.
Yeah, maintenance. Yes.
Jimmy spelled on the graphic, maintenance.
Yeah, I it was on the title. I didn't. It's like, how did it not catch that when I typed it? Did you, you know, yeah. So I did fix it. So it is maintenance.
Maintenance. Sounds like a horror movie, the maintenance.
Yeah, it is. It was this 3D epic thing that we were going to be doing tonight.
Yeah. Or the was it the FVT had the V2s. Trying to get me to say the word V2. So I'm like, this sounds like a monster movie, guys.
It is.
Like a 1950s, you know, matinee, the V2s. But anyway, one thing I was going to experiment with, and I've had it on my list of to do for years, and I haven't even tried it yet. I have so many plastic cabinets that I did not buy covers for. They get banged around. Mm-hmm. I have the excuse. I have one hand. I don't want to ask around with trying to hide covers. And I want to keep it as light as possible.
Yep.
That's my story and I'm sticking to it. But I have scratched speakers because of it. They work fine, but they're blemished. I don't know this because I haven't tried it yet, but I'm thinking about just trying to use some kind of automotive plastic dressing on them, like Back to Black or some kind of dash vent magic stuff, just to see if I can make it look better. Mm-hmm. Because whenever I was working on cars in the detail shop or in the car business, we ran into bumpers and plastic moldings and things that look like hell. We put some dressing on them. They look like brand new.
Wow. That would be very interesting. Yeah. Jimmy mentioned the heat gun and I've heard that used on a couple of occasions. Robin mentioned that too. And then press it back into shape. But I'd be afraid I would do more damage than repairing. It would be one of those things you'd want to have to.
You gotta be curious. You know what you're doing. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, heat and electronics are not always friends.
Yeah.
If you completely disassemble the thing and then take the heat gun and smooth it out, fine if you're that kind of an artist. I'm not that kind of an artist.
I'm not either. I've just found I've had better luck like with some of the little smaller powered speakers, the 8 and the 10-inch ones. I think I picked up some bags like from Reba, from Jennifer, and they've worked. You know, they're not meant for that application, but
sure,
they work. And again, the speakers, they look, they're in really good shape yet.
Have you ever heard of the term, like with a car, it's a 10 footer?
No, I don't think I've heard that.
That means from 10 feet away, it looks great. So 10 feet away, that's a 10 footer.
Is that like the girl who's like, you know, she's a four beer, you know, after four beers, she looks good.
Exactly. But with the car, it means something. Yeah, it's not just being obnoxious.
Yeah.
It's not being crude. The car is a 10 footer. If the car is an 8 footer, it's a little nicer, you know? So a 10 footer typically is a really nice car, but if you get real up close to it and start paying attention, you're going to see some flaws. I'm thinking I can make most of my speakers 10 footers with just some back to black dressing.
Yeah, they're that'd be interesting. I'd like to, that'll be a good video for you to make demonstrating that.
Close up, right up next to it, you're going to see every little thing. But a 10 footer, which is perfect for what we're doing.
Yeah, for weddings.
All you need is a 10 footer. So if it's good at 10 feet away, then it's good.
Yeah, 50 feet would be a bad.
Yeah, 50 footer, yeah. Or, you know, the aerial view or whatever.
But... Yeah, exactly. This is the Goodyear blimp view. Yeah, you're a Goodyear blimp.
The 10, you'll hear that a lot, like with classic cars. You know, what's a 10 footer? I know what that means. That means there are problems, but you're going to have to really be looking, you know, you're going to be closer to see them.
Yeah, just a casual glance. You're not gonna...
Same thing with a heat gun. I mean, you can take a heat gun and you can smooth out all kinds of deep scratches and things, but with the dressing, I think you can make a 10 footer happen, no problem.
And I've seen the Jimmy mentioned these scrims for speakers, especially the plastic ones. I mean, that was the big selling point of the scrims going over the speakers. So these plastic cabinets are all scratched up, and you do this, and now they look really good. And Gabriel, I think Gabriel, he had those, didn't he, Adnam?
Yeah, Gabe had them.
Yeah, Gabe had them. Yeah, and I love the idea that you could put your monitor, your logo and such on them for the right type of events. That was pretty cool, but I haven't seen them. You saw them there, but I haven't seen them really out and anyone really using those.
The other nice part about those, I thought, like if you wanted to go all white, you wouldn't have to own a set of white speakers. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is get these white scrim and put them over your existing speakers and you're done. You're white. If that was your objective.
Yeah, exactly.
I know that people buy white fixtures. I just don't know why they buy white fixtures.
I think for the right effect. I mean, let's face it, if everyone in your market is running black and you could come in there and say, oh, look at how elegant my white system is in this venue, I could see that being a selling point.
I'm sure it is, but my gosh, I mean, to keep that clean and blemish free.
Yeah, to keep that at that 10 foot, you know, so you're not seeing
keep it. Well, you know, the whole point is it's not a 10 footer right there. You're going to, it's perfect. Yeah. You don't want a 10 footer white. You want it perfect. It would be just the stress of keeping it perfect alone would freak me out.
Oh yeah. And I've got black scrims with what I do. And I was going to get into the white scrim and the glow, but the number of times I'm setting up, whether it's at a school or a venue, and after I bring things in and you're getting cables around and such, and you look at your hands and they're just like filthy. And it's not because my cables, everything's containered and I clean the cables on a regular basis, but it's just the venues are dirty as you're moving things around and such.
Yeah. Doorknobs.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, so if my hands get that dirty and then I go and want to do this, even my white Lycra screen that I use, it's like, okay, I get everything set up and then I go and wash up and then carefully put that up. And otherwise I can't, they're going to get so filthy. And then little kids coming up and like, oh, this is so pretty. And yeah.
Well, I guess the point was that that's a real easy way to go all white.
Yeah, it is.
Without really going all white.
But I could never keep it clean. Cool. I'm not that guy.
I could probably manage to keep a Lycra scrim clean, but I'm never going to keep a white cabinet clean.
Yeah.
So, and you can wash the stuff too, which is so nice. Throw in the washing machine, you're done.
And having said that, there is one, I have a facade that came from the guy who was making the table covers. He was one of the first ones that did that.
You're talking about Steve Jones at DJ Skirts.
Yes, DJ Skirts. Yes, he made that dashboard material. You mean that plastic facade.
Oh, the what they call the topper.
Yeah, the topper, the reversible one. And that truly is a white, and that is almost indestructible. As I was talking to Steve after he made those, and he goes, I've screwed up. He goes, I made those too good. Because they don't, you buy it once, and I've used that thing dozens of times, tossed it in the truck, and you know, you'd think, I have had to replace the bag. I had to get a new bag made for it. But yeah, I pull that thing out and it looks just as good today as it did the day I bought it, because it was made out of dashboard type whatever plastics.
You ever seen the guy who made the first O-Ratchet?
No.
You know what an O-Ratchet is?
I'm not sure.
You don't know what an O-Ratchet is? I have an O-Ratchet, an original O-Ratchet from the 90s.
That was it was a wrench that had the ratchet inside, right?
Basically, it's a ratchet, like a, you know, like you use to work on your car or whatever. But instead of, like, if you're working with an extra long bolt, the O-Ratchet has a hole
going through the end of it. Okay.
So you can put it over a long stud, you know, and still work it.
Gotcha.
So he invented this thing, and it revolutionized mechanics. There were so many cars that it was impossible to do this job or that job on them because, you know, the bolt was too long. Mm-hmm. So this guy invented the O-Ratchet. And the idea was stolen from other people or whatever. Well, it was a brilliant idea, and he didn't patent it correctly. And the last I heard, the guy was working on this garbage can lid that opened and closed a certain way or something. I guess what I'm getting at is the topper was Steve Jones's O-Ratchet. And he made a lot of other things, but nothing was quite like that topper. Mm. That was really smart. I still have mine too. Yeah, the bag is destroyed on mine as well. I don't know when I'll use it or anything else, but boy, was it cool. And I have other versions of a table topper.
Yep.
Steve Jones's topper is indestructible.
Yeah.
It is too high.
Yep.
I don't like that part about it. And Jay Brennan's in here. Old war story. We ended up early in the old days when we didn't know each other real well. We ended up going to, and Jay could tell you exactly where it was. It was one of the famous Italian pizza places in Chicago, the deep dish pizza place, with like Carl Deccan and Steve Jones and Pulse and Jay and some other guys. It's just a really weird group of people having pizza together. And Pulse said, you know what? I really like the topper, but it's too high.
Yeah.
And Steve got offended by this and he started arguing and fighting with it. It was hilarious to watch. It was sad and funny at the same time. But anyway, Jay's like, yeah, kind of a club topper. Let's call it the clopper. So clopper became a joke for years. When is someone going to invent a clopper? It's going to be like 8 to 12 inches tall. It's going to hide your cables, but you're still going to be able to see the performance. Mm-hmm. And we dubbed it the clopper. And one of these days, someone's going to make something and call it the clopper.
I'm thinking about
topper, clopper.
The ones that I've seen, and I don't think I've ever seen anything that is only that 8 inches tall.
The other thing we thought was cool is, like, if you make it 12 inches tall and six inches of that is solid color, and then another 6 inches is plexiglass. How cool would that be? It's protective, but it's still cool. And now today with LED lights, you could light that up and etch stuff in it and make it so neat.
Oh yeah, that'd be very cool.
Whatever, but yeah.
I'm guessing by the time we wrap up our show tonight, Jimmy will have a mock-up design.
He'll have one made.
Yeah, he'll have it designed and ready to go.
Here it is, guys.
Is this what you were talking about?
Yeah, but Jimmy's is going to weigh 1,700 pounds.
Yeah, it's going to be made out of 2x4.
Coolest thing you ever saw in your life, but it's going to weigh a ton. And you're going to say, Jimmy, why does it weigh a ton? And Jimmy's going to say, it doesn't matter. I don't got to carry it. Just hire somebody to carry it.
Yeah.
Because that's who rolls.
I've got a roadie.
I got roadies. I don't care how much it weighs.
Funny. The left-handed monkey wrench. Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, well, there's all kinds of fun stuff out there like that.
Yeah, that tool, that ratchet must have been in the automotive realm more than in the construction world.
I'll show it to you a little later.
I know. If you described it, yeah, I've seen.
I mean, I actually have the box. It says O-Ratchet on it.
No, I haven't.
I've got the sockets and the ratchet. It's in beautiful shape. I've only used it a couple times.
And the TM clopper. Working on it. Oh. Well, gang, I think we're going to wrap things up for tonight. Just as kind of a leisurely week this week. Next week, again, we'll be back with the Ben Music Show and the Brian Tech Show. You're going to learn so much next week. It's going to be scary.
Opposites week, yes.
We're switching things up next week. So you
like Sadie Hawkins kind of.
None of us are pretty as a Sadie Hawkins dance. So, all right.
Yeah.
Everyone, have yourself a wonderful week. We will be back again next Monday. The interview show is going to be going up at 10 a.m. with our new interviews on Mondays during the day, and then our regular Monday night show, and then our Tuesday night shows will be at the regular time. So we will catch you then. Good night, everybody.